Good afternoon. Last one of the day and last one of the pathology invasion. Today I'm going to be talking about a really unique project we were working on with Bayer Environmental Science last year. And I'm not going to get so much into the specific results of the trial, but more of the methodology and some of the interesting things that we saw throughout the experiments. I'm starting to get into a little bit of hyperspectral work and multispectral work. I really haven't quite found the Rosetta Stone of remote sensing, but I'm trying to learn some things. I went up to one of Dr. Holland's talks a little while ago, and he pretty much blew me away with some of the things he's talking about. But I'm going to give you a shot at explaining some of the work we're doing and how multispectral work is used in turf grass. The basic difference in this, for those of you not familiar with it, is hyperspectral reflectance collection is basically where you're looking at a great number of reflectance points throughout the entire spectrum. Usually you'll have several hundred different data points, versus multispectral is more of just a snapshot at certain wavelengths. That's more of what we typically look at with turf and in other agronomic situations. Once we get this information, usually we develop vegetative indices. The ones that we use most commonly in turf are the NDVI, Normalized Difference Vegetation Index, and just the simple ratio, or RVI. Those are most common. There's a number of other options out there, but right now that's kind of where we typically look. The major difference in these two different indices is that the NDVI looks at takes into account the soil line. In turf grass, it's not that big of a deal, in my opinion, because, as you know, turf grass stands are pretty dense. You don't really see a lot of the soil. This is just a generic spectral signature that I pulled off of the Geological Services website, just kind of showing it's for generic lawn grass, no clue what species, warm season, cool season, but it shows the main points. What we typically look at is the data from the visible region and into the near-infrared. For most of the units we look at, usually there's a red, which is somewhere around 650 or so nanometers, and we also look at a near-infrared, usually in the 700s or 800s. There's a number of different good instruments out there. There's several from Spectrum Technologies, the CM1000, the TCM500, Crop Circle is what I use, and then the OS50-2 chlorophyll fluorometer, which is made by OptiSciences. I'm going to get into a little bit more detail about the Crop Circle and how I'm using that in my research. One of the other methods for collecting objective data is the use of digital image analysis. Absolutely a great tool. But there are definitely some limitations with digital image analysis. One of those is that you're only looking at the visible spectrum. You don't really get a chance to look at that near-infrared region, which can actually be very useful in determining plant stress prior to visible symptoms. And then the second thing is with digital image analysis is lighting. If it's a cloudy day, it might affect results. Now, I did take a few minutes to walk around and look at the posters, and I saw some of the work out of Nebraska that had some normalizations to overcome that. So digital image analysis definitely, we'll be able to utilize that and not really worry so much about the lighting. So as far as the data collection that I'm looking at, it's really broken down into three primary components. The first is the unit, the actual reflectance unit. As I said before, I'm working with the Crop Circle unit from Holland Scientific. For this particular trial, I was using the ACS 210, which has two fixed bands, the red and the near-infrared. But now I've actually started using the ACS 470, which allows me to basically define which bands I'm going to be looking at, which is useful for a number of reasons that I won't get into now. This information is then, calculated for these vegetative indices. Second major component for mapping is you obviously have to have some GPS coordinates. You need a good receiver for this, especially when you're dealing with situations like we typically do where you have small plot sizes. For this particular situation, we had a lot of, roughly 1 meter by 2 meter plots. So again, you have to have very good precision. The unit that I used for this particular trial was the Trimble Ag GPS 432. Actually, also am using a Raven Phoenix 300 as well. The key is having the good resolution from the OmniStar subscription. The last piece of making sense out of all of this information is a data processing service. And I'm working with the folks at Turf Scout for a lot of the mapping and the index classification and overall data processing. And I'll show some of those features as we move along. This is just a picture of the units. This is, kind of my fancy little golf cart. Everybody always has a lot of interesting comments. I want to go out on a golf course and collect data. You'll see here the reflectance unit, the crop circle, and then the GeoScout, which is the data logger. Information is fed into that. Also, we have the GPS. Simultaneously, that information is logged into the computer or into this little data logger. Then this is where I think everything really kind of fits together. This is just a picture of some of the trials, showing some of the plots, and each one of those dots that you see is a separate data point. So using something like this allows for a lot of data collection, thousands of points over the course of just a few minutes. So that's definitely one of the things I want to point out in this picture, but also is you'll see the different colors. The way this is set up is we've got a different classification. It can be somewhat user-defined, or you can go with what's set with Turf Scout, where you can set either RVI or NDVI values. Generally speaking, red, as you might expect, would be the worst quality. Then you go through the orange, yellow, blue, green, and then the dark green is always the healthiest turf. So back to the study. This was, like I said, was a very interesting study. We were comparing triticonazole, Bayer's Triton Flow with their stress guard technology, to propiconazole. Two DMIs, both have some growth regulating properties, and we want to look at reflectance values. We looked at these alone at a couple of rates with trinexpac ethyl, or alternated with trinexpac ethyl, and we also looked at some pre-formulated products. The triticonazole was reserve, and the propiconazole was concert. The setup is a randomized complete block design. We'd have three replications as well as three start dates. When we were deciding on a location, we wanted to make sure we were on a high-traffic putting green that had a lot of POA, a lot of annual bluegrass. So we found a site not too far from where I live, which was very nice for collecting data, at Hanging Rock Golf Club in Salem, Virginia. This was a public course, and they allowed us to come in and take over part of their green, this lower quadrant here. And as I said, we had a lot of plots in here, so we had to fit 126 plots into this area. And before we really set up the trial, we wanted to look at foot traffic, and you could see you're getting all the traffic from the parking lot, from the driving range, and from the clubhouse, all coming to one kind of centralized area before heading off to the first tee. So that was definitely important and something you'll see in a minute. Here's just how we fit all the plots in. We tried to avoid the cleanup as much as we possibly could. Laid out all of the plots, serpentine vertically as you're looking at it here. Then we went through, separated into blocks. Like I said, we had the three replications, three start dates. And also I said the area furthest to the right appeared to have the highest stress, the most foot traffic. So we wanted to, rather than have all three replications of a start date in one area, we wanted to separate the blocks by replication so that here in this area where we saw the most foot traffic, we would have one of the replications for each start date. Here's just a picture of us collecting some data. We initially went out, marked all of the corners, and then ran the unit across. Ran the unit across to collect our data, reflectance data. And here's where it gets kind of what I consider to be really interesting. This is an overall plot of the data that we processed with all of the different plots. At the time of trial establishment, you really couldn't tell any differences. But once you ran the reflectance numbers, you were able to see a lot of variability with the vast majority of the stress areas over there near the driving range. That definitely is important to know going in, even though a visual turf quality rating might say, okay, this is a 7 or an 8. And you'll see at the top in this graph, we've got all 126 plots sorted by RVI values at trial initiation. They range anywhere from 6.5 up to above 8.5 values, with most of them being roughly around 7.5. And let's fast forward a little bit. And this is just one of the snapshots taken on August 4th. At this stage of the game, we'd made all three of our DMI applications, or three DMI applications 14 days apart, with alternating Ternaxpac ethyl applications. Those were also 14 days apart on the alternate weeks. For the July start, we had made two DMI applications, one Ternaxpac ethyl application, and the August applications went out later in the day. I just kind of zoomed in a little bit, again, not trying to get into specific data, but just wanted to point out a few things. This is the area furthest to the left where there was not as much foot traffic, and certainly you can see a lot of green within this area, and I'll show you the third rep in just a second. But you can take a look. This is an untreated plot. You can see a lot of yellow, and in fact there's some of the red, which is indicating lowest quality. And the plot over here is Ternaxpac ethyl by itself. Then all the various situations of the triticonazole, different rates with and without Ternaxpac ethyl, and then then with chlorothalonil. And the lower plots are the propiconazole plots. Take a look over on the other side now. This picture right here, these were not randomized in the first replication, but over on this on the other replications, they were randomized. You can definitely pick out some plots. This first block is the June start. Second block is the July start. And what we saw is in these areas, it really didn't matter about which DMI you were looking at. What was more important was that you had that chlorothalonil component once you're starting application, or once you're getting into the really stressful period of July and August in the Mid-Atlantic. Something else that I do not have a picture of in this, in the talk, is that you're able to take a look at one individual plot and track the progress over the time, or look at a couple of plots and track over time, which is definitely useful when you have a situation like this where, you know, certain replications may have a lot higher quality, and it just allows a little bit more flexibility. So basically, to summarize some of what we were doing with this, like I said at the beginning, we have this area where we felt like there was going to be a lot of stress. We couldn't see it, but we felt like there was. So we collected the reflectance data, and that was able to confirm that, yes, these areas are, in fact, under more stress, even though the eye is not saying there's any differences there. This methodology certainly allows for very rapid collection of data and processing. For this particular study, we probably collect 3,000 or 4,000 data points in about 5 minutes, which, in my opinion, is definitely superior than some of the other units where you have to manually go in and collect your measurements. The mapping feature is very useful for comparison. I found it very useful. You still need to process the data in whatever software you're using, ARM or SAS or something like that. But it's certainly very useful. And the technology is still developing, but there's a lot of interesting things there, a lot of promising tools for this, and I certainly hope to look at a few more options that will make this even more user-friendly for turf managers. With that, go Hokies. Any questions? Right now, they're climbing up in the rankings. Where's Penn State right now?
Kansas State.
No, where's Penn State right now?
You're asking the wrong person.
Now, are there any questions? And again, I didn't get into specifics on the data, on the results. I'll be happy to answer any of those questions or about the methodology. Yes. Yes. When we were making the applications prior to stress, certainly in that last replication, and again, it's just one replication versus the entire trial. We noticed that chlorothalonil, in combination with the DMI, definitely provided higher reflectance values. In terms of turf quality, visual ratings, I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but if I recall, those chlorothalonil plots definitely were definitely not any worse than the DMI applications alone. Well, disease is definitely another issue. I didn't talk about this much, but we had a fair amount of anthracnose and we had dollar spot. The chlorothalonil definitely plays a major role in disease suppression with those. I did look at correlations just to see how everything stacked up. I didn't see any kind of a correlation with the reflectance values, either the RVI or NDVI, with dollar spot. But I did see a pretty strong correlation. I think it was about 70% to 80%, which is pretty strong with anthracnose. So that certainly plays a role. Propiconazole typically is not as strong of an anthracnose fungicide as triticonazole.
Yes. I was wondering how, so you say it's different reflectance, you say it's associated with more stress, but is there any way you can actually quantify it that time with more stress, not just reflecting a different spectrum? Is it like photochemical efficiency differences, or is there any way you can actually quantify
it? Is there a way to quantify stress with this particular unit? Well, basically, with this unit, since you're not really, you're not actually touching any surface, you're not going to be able to actually do like a total chlorophyll content or anything like that. But yeah, you can certainly look at this data and compare it with a fluorometer or something like that. And we've done that with a couple of devices. Honestly, I can't remember off the top of my head which devices, but the NDVI from one of the handheld units was very, very similar to the crop circle data. Any other questions? All right, thanks a lot.
I want to thank all our speakers today for taking time out to present to us. And because some of us took 20 minutes, I'll give you the opportunity to ask some of them questions because Brian's here. Are there any questions concerning his looking at phosphorus fertilization and runoff? All right. Any questions? All right. Well, with that, I thank the speakers, and I thank you for attending.